Good morning, everybody. If you could all turn with me to the call to worship, it should be at the back of your bulletin. As we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, There are no outsiders here among us.
No one has any special standing or right to us.
We have all been brought together by the redeeming love of Jesus.
Let us all join together in worship.
Good morning. If you would please stand if you're able.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came.
Like to be introduced today? No? Oh, welcome here. Is there anyone else? Okay. Now it is time for the announcements. In the bulletin, I'd like to point out number two and number three. So number two is that NKMC is putting on a summer borscht lunch on April 29th, immediately following the History Sunday service. And they are looking for volunteers to help with the preparation, serving, and cleanup for both April 28th and 29th. And you can contact Sarah Cohen-Hohen, and her number is in there. Also, the Sunday school is looking for assistance with the family / Mother's Day service this year. They are requesting to provide them with stories, thank you memories, or tributes of their mothers and families to share in the service. The Sunday school can either read them out themselves or have someone from the Sunday school read them. The messages can be sent to Shauna or Jeff. Is there any other announcements that anyone would like to share? No? Okay, now we're going to move on. If any children want to come join me for the children's story. Is it on? If you guys want, you guys can move up forward. You're so far away. Come on. Okay, so today in church, we're learning about the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus from the book of John. And in this story, Jesus goes to a well after traveling for a while and starts to talk to a Samaritan woman. And he offers her some water. But she mentions that they shouldn't really be talking because they're from two different places, because she's a Samaritan and he was a Jew. But in this passage, it's about the social contempt that the Jews and Samaritans held for one another, and Jesus demonstrates to us that we can overcome cultural walls to reach people in need. So this passage kind of shows us that no matter what your culture is, it's always good to help others and love one another as Jesus did. Can you guys think of some ways that we can help the people around us that might be different from us? It can be anything. How do you feel like you could help someone? You guys don't have any ideas? We could help them by if you see someone that might be thirsty, you could offer them a glass of water, right? Okay. So let's bow for prayer. Lord, help us be able to love one another who we hold most, but also help us to be able to love the ones who are different from us. Amen. Okay, so you guys can go down to Sunday school.
Be my source, be my light, Jesus.
Now we're going to move on to a time of sharing. Our condolences, thoughts, and prayers go out to Dale and Linda Titterton, Jessica and Jean-Michelle, Summer and Alice Lizotte, Chris and Rachel Titterton, and the extended family and friends of the passing of Dale's father, Murray Titterton, on Sunday, April 14th, 2018. Is there anything else anyone would like to share at this time? If not, could you all bow your heads in prayer? Lord, we pray that you watch over us in the hard times and help us and help those in the world that at this time need you the most. Jesus, you open us to new life, new hope, new possibilities. You conquer the way we close up, close down, and close in. Jesus, lover of us all. Open our hearts to feel your compassion for people we would rather walk by. Open our ears to hear the cries of the suffering deep inside where we cannot fail to be moved. Open our understanding to new ways of living that do not diminish anyone. Open our eyes to see a vision of the world as you would have. May these powerful words on our lips become the meditation of our hearts as we live in the ways that are acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now we are going to go to offering with our Father.
You are praying. We gathered here to sing. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. We need your mercy and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray. From heaven.
I will be reading from John chapter 4, 1-26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the long journey, sat down by the well. It was about a sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew this gift of God, who is it that you ask for a drink? And would you have asked him, and he would have given you living water?" "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water well to the eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't thirst again and have to keep coming to drink water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your Samaritans worshipped what you do not have known. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit, truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he."
Well, I wish you God's peace as we continue on our reflection on this passage this morning. And we pray together, our loving God, grant us understanding, grant us openness to your Spirit, who is speaking to us through the word you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so we've just heard the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman meeting at a well, as the scripture was read to us this morning. As I considered their meeting and the direction of their conversation, I thought that the phrase, "into the open," could inform our consideration of the story. I was intrigued by how that phrase relates to wells and how a well figured prominently in the story. Wells, after all, bring into the open things that are otherwise hidden. A water well makes it possible to bring water that is hidden underground to the surface where it becomes completely visible. Now, the well is not the important part of the story, but the idea of a well bringing things to the surface that are otherwise hidden leads us to the phrase "into the open" that will guide our discussion this morning. We'll look at how matters were drawn into the open during the discussion that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at a well, how Jesus encouraged openness, and how being open is an important part of how we approach God in worship. So as we first see the woman, we see her in what could be understood as a closed state. Two factors lead to that deduction. One is that she was at the well at noon, in the heat of the midday. Now we understand that people usually drew water at the end of the day so that they didn't have to deal with the heat while they were drawing water. Why would she come at noon? The other factor considers the location of the well. The commentator William Barclay relates the information that the well in question was about a half mile from the town of Sychar. Why would this woman walk to a well that distance from home to draw water, and then in the heat of the day? Well, commentators have suggested that she may have been a woman who was such a moral outcast that the women of the town essentially drove her away from the town well. We know that it appears odd, strange, that the woman comes to the well at the time she did, and we speculate about why. It makes sense to think that she desired to keep closed in terms of relationships to other people. She would go to great lengths to avoid community relationships and would remain closed off to people. Now that's speculation, but it seems to fit the details of the story, and it also makes sense from the perspective of common human tendencies. We find out later in the story that this woman has had five husbands and is now living with a man who is not her husband. It's not hard to imagine that this woman has felt criticized in her community. And it's not hard for us to relate to the idea of not wanting to be in relationship with people who criticize or ostracize us. That's a pretty common human reaction. It makes sense to think of this woman as closed off to almost anyone. When Jesus began their conversation by asking her for a drink, she replied in a way that could suggest she didn't particularly want to interact with Jesus. She said, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Her statement and question could at least be an indication that the woman was not eager to be open with this man who sat at the well asking for water. It is interesting, though, how quickly Jesus engaged the woman in conversation and drew her toward a place of openness. We're going to go through the conversation and observe it. Jesus began by asking for water. The woman wondered why he, a Jew, would ask her, a Samaritan, for water. Jesus didn't answer her question directly. He had a bit of a habit of not answering questions directly. So he didn't answer this one directly either. He replied by saying that if she understood whom she was talking to, she would have been the one asking for water, and she would have received living water. Well, when Jesus spoke of living water, as verse 13 later implies, he was speaking of the life of God that exists within a person who has entered into a relationship with God. But the woman didn't understand Jesus' direction. Or if she did understand Jesus' direction, then she didn't want to talk about it. Commentator Leon Morris says the woman had no desire to talk about profound spiritual realities. So she chose to take Jesus' words as referring to physical water. That may be an indication that she was still not open to talk to Jesus in the way that Jesus was taking the conversation. When Jesus was talking about living water, he was talking about the change that God could bring into effect within the soul of the human being. His statement that those who drink the water that he gives will never thirst again implies that all humans have a need for God in their lives. We're not complete until we enter a relationship with God and God walks with us. Until that point, we continue to thirst. But when God becomes a vital part of our lives, that thirst is vanquished. Jesus says that one who drinks of that water will never be thirsty again. This water is like a spring in one's life that never dries up and continues producing. Now, it's hard to judge the woman's response to this claim. Perhaps she was impressed. perhaps she was cynical, or perhaps she was amused. Whichever it was, when Jesus talked about water that would cause her to never thirst again, she asked for this water so that she would not have to keep coming back to this well. Her response indicated either misunderstanding or some kind of sense of humor sort of response, sarcasm, something like that. Barclay thinks she responded in jest. This was an enjoyable conversation, and she was playing along for the fun of it. Well, sure, then give me some of this kind of water. I'd be quite happy to never be thirsty again. Now, if that's the correct understanding, then she may have continued to keep herself closed to the direction Jesus was going in. We do close off meaningful and important discussion with humor sometimes, don't we? Perhaps she was doing this as well. Then Jesus changed the course of the discussion considerably. Morris points out that Jesus' request that she go and fetch her husband has no apparent connection with what precedes. They've been talking about water, and all of a sudden Jesus says, go bring your husband. It's best taken as his way of bringing the woman's sin into the open, he says. Now it seems that this request from Jesus caused the woman to stop playing games and to answer him in a straightforward way. She admitted that she had no husband. That didn't mean that there was no man in her life, but she didn't elaborate on her current status. Instead, Jesus told her what her life situation was. She had already gone through 5 husbands and was now living with a man who was not her husband. We don't know more details. We don't know what happened to the 5 husbands. But it's enough to understand that this woman was living contrary to the understood direction of God, and that this fact was now out in the open. The woman was impressed by how these details were known by Jesus. It would appear that she didn't expect them to be known, and quickly drew the conclusion that Jesus must be a prophet. Perhaps because she concluded that she was talking to a prophet, she decided to bring a spiritual controversy into their conversation. Her people, the Samaritans, believed that they worshiped God right on the physical place where they were at that time, Mount Gerizim. That was the right place to worship God. The Jews insisted that God must be worshiped in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. So, Mount Gerizim, Mount Zion. What should it be? What would Jesus have to say about this controversy? Now, here's another way that we sometimes close ourselves off to important conversation. We change the topic. Perhaps the woman posed her question about worship to avoid something in her conversation with Jesus, or perhaps not. We're reading things into the story. But it could be that she changed the conversation, the topic of the conversation, to get away from what the other conversation was going toward. So thinking about her topic change as a possible way that she avoided a tricky topic does add to our theme that the woman needed to be drawn into the open. Jesus responded to this controversial question with a very important teaching about worship in verses 23 and 24 of our text. And this becomes the focal point of our discussion this morning. The controversy the woman spoke about is irrelevant. Where God is worshipped is not important. What is important, rather, is that the people of God worship in spirit and in truth. Now, to worship God in spirit, I suggest, means that it is unimportant that one be in a particular physical place, because it is in one's heart that one worships God. That can happen in any kind of physical place. That teaching addressed the Samaritan woman's issues about where God could be worshipped. It also reminds us that our worship of God must genuinely come from our hearts and is not an outward formality. I suggest that we could attend a worship service, we could sing the songs, and we could hear the words, but not worship. Our hearts must be involved. We need to worship God from within ourselves, even as we gather with the community to worship. See, now you could hear that emphasis on worshiping within our hearts and think that this gathering is unimportant, that you could worship anywhere, so why come here? You could take that thought from that. That's not what I'm trying to say. I think it's valuable and important to gather together to worship. but I think there's still something that needs to come from you in that time of worship. Then Jesus added that people must worship God in truth, so in spirit and in truth. Again, I expect that this would have spoken directly to the Samaritan woman. Our sense is that she was not eager to expose herself. It seems logical that she would not have desired to be completely honest in her worship of God. Jesus told her, in effect, that she needed to let go of her secrecy and her closed disposition and become transparent and vulnerable with God. The teaching addressed the woman's issues with openness. It also reminds us that God doesn't want us to be closed with Him. When He calls us to worship in truth, He wants openness, honesty, and vulnerability. Now it appears that this teaching helped to bring about a radical change for the Samaritan woman. Later in the chapter, we read that she went back to her town and began speaking openly about Jesus. John tells us that many people responded to her testimony when she said, "He told me everything I ever did." The people of the town urged Jesus to stay on for a while, and He did stay for two more days, and many became believers in Him. So consider what the woman did after her conversation with Jesus. We have supposed that she likely did not have a very good reputation in town. We have supposed that she was not eager to talk to people. We have supposed that the women of the town essentially drove her away from them. If all that supposition was correct, then we see an amazing change. After this honest conversation with Jesus, the woman was freed to speak boldly about her experience. And perhaps equally amazingly, the people of the town saw the change and paid attention to the woman's words. The new openness bore positive results on many levels. Now we have focused on the Samaritan woman's conversation with Jesus and how that conversation helped her to become more open. I would like us to consider another aspect of this openness conversation. I think that the approach that Jesus took with the woman was a significant factor in helping her to move toward openness. This woman would have expected Jesus to reject her. Jesus was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. At that time in history, Jews generally despised Samaritans. They didn't want to have anything to do with Samaritans and would avoid entering the region of Samaria, the central part of Israel. And yet, this Jew drew her into conversation. In addition to that, a Jewish rabbi, a teacher, and Jesus was viewed as that, would likely not engage a woman in public conversation. The strict rabbis of the time would not even greet a woman in public, never mind entering into a lengthy conversation with them. I read this in one commentary that there were a certain group of Pharisees that were known as the bruised and battered Pharisees because they closed their eyes when they were walking down the street and a woman passed by them. And so they banged into things and smashed up their faces. Kind of an amusing thought, yes. Most of us try not to close our eyes when we see attractive women. But that's, oh boy, that's a male thing to say, isn't it? One that one perhaps shouldn't say. It's not in my text. All right. But anyway, the point of that is to remind us that this encounter was one where Jesus was abandoning the rules, the expectations, and engaging this woman. Another thought that I had here, amusing thought, was when Megan started to tell her story, my faulty hearing thought that she said American woman. And I thought, yeah. There was none of that Samaritan woman stay away from me stuff in Jesus' conversation with her. So with that understanding, I would have us recognize something significant in the nature of God. God draws us to Himself. Who we are and how we might be rejected by others does not matter. God is open to every one of us who wishes to engage Him. Now we have seen Jesus move the Samaritan woman from a closed position to a more open position. We have seen Jesus draw her into the open. We have concluded that God wishes to draw all of us into an open relationship with Him. Now, can we say that this is desirable to us? How do we respond to that thought that God wants to draw us into an open relationship with Him? Will we move into the open with God? See, I would suggest that we are sometimes inclined to play games with God. When I think of my life, at least, I think this happens. Perhaps, and I've experienced you as a wonderful group of people, perhaps this doesn't happen with any of you. But I suggest it might. We might say that when we feel convicted about a life decision we've made that we know was questionable, and we might have a way to justify things before God. We might say that we didn't really have a choice in the matter. We might say that there was no really right choice, so we made a choice that wasn't good, but it was the best that we could do. We might suggest to God that we could have done far worse things, and that this choice really wasn't that bad a choice. Or we might argue with God that He really couldn't mean what He said, and that the choice we have made isn't really a wrong one. I don't know. Can we relate to any of that? We play games with God and are less than open. And as a result, we close ourselves to the work of God in our lives. So we hear today that God wants to draw us into the open. God wants us to be honest and vulnerable before Him. He draws us into the open. So I want to conclude this sermon by having us think about the two applications of the story that seem most prominent to me. And one is the idea that has been at the forefront of the sermon. As we understand God by seeing Jesus in this story, we recognize that God wants us to respond to Him in honesty and openness. If we feel a thirst for the life that God offers, we need to come to Him in that honesty and openness and receive that new life. The other is to wonder if the example of Jesus also informs how we relate to other people. I see Jesus in this story as being one who chooses not to prejudge and criticize the woman, and rather chooses to draw the woman toward honest self-reflection by grace, warmth, and good humor. It strikes me that we as humans are far more likely to open ourselves to positive changes when others draw us with grace, warmth, and good humor. And if that's the case, then we have here a powerful lesson that encourages us to be people who engage with others with grace, warmth, and good humor. And then we too play a role in drawing others into the open. May we then head toward the open. Let's pray. Our loving God, this is a terrific story. It is a story that has so many lessons on many levels. Today we've thought about it primarily in the sense of being honest and vulnerable with You. We pray that You would work in our spirits to draw us toward that. We know that You do. And we pray that You would teach us to continue to live the way that You modeled, so that we may also be people who draw others into the open. In Jesus' name, amen.
The great giver of the great good.
Stand with me for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his may the Lord lift up upon you and give you peace.
He is calling. He is calling.